Reading with your kids.
Hola, ni hao, konnichiwa, assalamu alaikum, shalom, mahaba, cha, bonjour, namaste, jumbo. Bienvenidos, my name is Jet Li, magician, storyteller, and lifelong believer that the family that reads together grows together. This is Reading With Your Kids, and we are coming to you from the beautiful little neighborhood of Reedville in the beautiful city of Boston. We are so very honored and absolutely delighted that you're joining us in our mission to help all families grow closer through reading. How do we do that? Well, we share fascinating, thought-provoking conversation with fascinating people who just happen to be writing books for kids of all ages. You can join us and support this mission by telling all of your family and friends about the show and letting them know that they can hear us on the WREB AM-FM 24/7 radio network. And they can find us on the iHeartRadio app, on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Podcast Addict, Amazon Music, Audible, wherever you find your favorite shows, you can find Reading With Your Kids. We have a really wonderful show lined up for you today. First up, Lynn Plord is here to celebrate the Bionic Boy. Later in the show, Lindsay Gazicki is here to celebrate Bookly, the book-loving ghost. Well, let you know that this episode of Reading With Your Kids is also brought to you by We're Going on a Space Adventure, written by Marie Nichols. This is a Reading With Your Kids certified great read. Blasting off and speeding through space, Graham cheers to the moon and beyond. But Bracken quickly learns that Graham has a fear of flying and that he must manage control of the spaceship. On the moon, they narrowly escape a hideous monster as a crater explodes, and on Mars, they need to outrun Martian creatures or risk becoming their dinner. Hoping to find a friendlier planet, they decide to try Jupiter. Then clank, 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 something is attacking the spaceship. You and your kids are going to love this book. It's fun. It's exciting. It celebrates intergenerational friendships, and we love those. We're Going on a Space Adventure by Marie Nichols. It is a Reading With Your Kids certified great read. This episode of Reading With Your Kids is brought to you by Trumpet, the Miracle Wolf Pup Series. There's a brand new book in the series, and we're so excited to tell you all about it. Trumpet Becomes a Mom. In this exciting book, Trumpet and Lighthawk, now a bonded pair, start their own family with their very first litter of pups. Families can read together, schools can explore the importance of wolf packs in conservation, and Trumpet fans everywhere can celebrate this milestone in her incredible journey. Grab your copy today. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, select bookstores, and the Wolf Conservation Center, where Trumpet and her family live. Plus, 50% of all profits go right back to supporting the Wolf Conservation Center, with more donated to Lighthawk Conservation Flying. So grab your book today and have a group haul for Trumpet and her family. This episode is brought to you by onceuponadance.com. Ignite imagination with award-winning dance and movement books. Once Upon a Dance inspires young readers to twirl, leap, and dream with whimsy and wonder. Whether your child enjoys unicorns, bats, zombies, or cats, Once Upon a Dance has a dance-it-out story to get them moving. For more information about this 37 delightful books, please visit onceuponadance.com or find them on your favorite social media platform. Join us right now from the great state of Maine. Our guest is here today to celebrate her new middle grade novel. It's called The Bionic Boy. Please welcome to the show, Lynn Plord. Lynn, how are you?
I'm great, Jed. Thank you for having me all the way from Maine.
All the way from Maine. Yes, indeed. Lynn and I were just sharing. I've traveled to Maine so many times from Boston. It was a place I'd loved vacationing. I was going to mention that you are the winner of the Katahdin Award, and I had the absolute scariest time of my life crossing the knife hand, the
knife edge.
Knife edge, yes, climbing Mount Katahdin, crossing Knife Edge, going down the other side of the mountain, and then looking back, and my friend said, all right, we have to do that again to get to the car. And I said, oh, no. We're going to hitchhike or something.
You're braver than I. I climbed Katahdin once many years ago. And when we got to Knife Edge, I'm like, nope, not doing that. And we came back down, and we came down a trail that was so much easier. It's like, because the only way up is this boulder is taller than I am, and you're clawing your way up. It's like, why didn't we go up the easier way?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, it wasn't bravery. It was because of a girl, and I was trying to impress this girl. And it didn't work at all, which is great because I met my beautiful wife, and we have a lovely family, and I couldn't be happier. But tell us about the Bionic Boy, please.
The Bionic Boy is Benji's story. Benji is an 11-year-old. He was adopted from the other side of the world. He was in an orphanage, and he ends up coming to Maine, and he was born without hands. So that might be part of the reason he was at an orphanage and abandoned there. And he comes to Maine, and he learns to speak English in part by watching superhero cartoons. And he falls in love with the superheroes. He's like, oh, maybe I could be brave. He wants to be brave, but he's not very sure of himself at all. You know, if photos are being taken, he hides his arms behind his back so somebody doesn't notice that he doesn't have hands. He's self-conscious of people staring at him. Kind of hard to be a hero when you're missing something important like hands. He also has a sister, younger sister, who was adopted, Becca, who has Down syndrome. And he will do anything to help Becca. And one day, Becca actually is the hero at the Special Olympics. And Benji's like, when's it my turn to do something heroic? But you kind of have to believe in yourself to be a hero. And so the story moves along where Benji meets a quadruple war amputee who gives a speech. And it seems so sure of himself, Staff Sergeant Dirk Snyder. And he's like, whoa. Look what he does. He jokes about the fact that he doesn't have arms and legs. And it's like, I try to hide it. So he starts to think about new possibilities and wonders if he should get prosthetics, because that hadn't happened at this point in his life. And if he has prosthetics, maybe then he would feel like he's braver.
Mm-hmm. Fascinating. What inspired this story and these characters?
A couple of things. I think it came from a couple of different directions. I saw a magazine article about a boy without arms and legs that was adopted into a United States family, and all the photos were pure joy. And it was like, oh, he was in the family swimming pool, and the siblings that you know were there too. He was joking with them. They were helping him to move around as he needed to. And I said, I want to write a story about somebody like that. So I found it in the back of my head. And put it aside, I actually did my first middle grade novel, Maxie's Secrets, which is about a dog that's deaf. And after that, I said, okay, I think I'm going to go back to the boy. And I had him not have hands. I didn't have him missing all four limbs. And it took a long time to do it, many different revisions for it. But Nancy Paulson is my editor, and she's wonderful. And she loved the boy from the beginning, Benji. And so, okay, she's going to help me to find the story the best way that I can. And how it came to be, that was sort of the inspiration. But I was a speech therapist for 21 years in Maine public schools. So having worked, like Benji's sister has Down syndrome. Well, I worked with so many kids in schools who had Down syndrome. And I worked with kids who were deaf. So my first novel, Maxie's Secrets, there's the dog that's deaf. But I feel like kids who have disabilities or challenges need to shine. They need their own stories. And I don't think we have enough stories where they do get to shine. So I feel like that's my focus as I write more middle grade novels.
I love that. You know, when I was reading the notes preparing for this and saw the name of the book was The Bionic Boy, it kind of made me joke. I had an accident where I had to have surgery on both of my legs, and I was walking around with these very obvious braces and whatnot. And my beautiful wife and I would often joke that I was the bionic, you know, it was my bionic legs. And it was, as somebody who was used to being the center of attention doing educational magic shows for 35 years, I was okay with going into a restaurant and all the little kids staring at me and, you know, whatnot. And it was cool and I could joke about it. But I don't know if I'd be able to joke about it if I were a kid and not wanting to stand out.
I think that's a really good point. And I think kids do. They want to fit in. Mm-hmm. They don't want to be the one that has a difference and stands out. And so for Benji, it was hard. Plus the fact that it wasn't his country. And he wasn't as sure of himself with English. But he had to learn to believe in himself. So, and he finally did. And it's funny when you say, Jed, about your bionic legs. Actually, some prosthetics are called bionic ones. It's the nickname for them. Ah. So you can have 3D hands,3D hands that you can use, and you can make it on a 3D printer machine that have very simple movements.
Uh-huh.
But then you can get your real prosthetics, which are robotic and bionic parts. And for me to be, you don't know what you don't know. Mm-hmm. So a prosthetist from Presque Isle, Maine, which we talked about a while ago. Northern Maine, was one of my experts that I sent the manuscript, and we kept going back and forth in terms of, is this right? Is this believable? Could this happen? And because, again, you don't know what you don't know.
Right. Right. Yeah. I'm fascinated by either one or two characters we haven't talked about yet. The parents who adopted a kid from another country without a hand and a girl with Down syndrome. Can you shed a little light on those parents?
Sure. Benji's parents that adopt him are Papa and Dad, and they bring him back to Maine, and they're sort of very different, but they're very accepting. It's like they're going to make sure that Benji finds his own way. Papa likes to cook, so he's always cooking, and that will fix things. And Dad is a kindergarten teacher, and he's outgoing and boisterous. And so they're very different in terms of personalities, but they're sort of the right mix in terms of bringing up kids. They also, when they get back to the United States after they had Benji for about a year or so, they adopted Becca. And mm-hmm. Becca is Benji's younger adopted sister, and she has Down syndrome. And she is, the Down syndrome kids I worked with, they're delightful. They just always make you smile. But they're stubborn as can be. It's like whatever they, you know, they're going to, I remember following a girl at a school I worked at who had Down syndrome. She ran into the middle of the road, and it's like it was bus dismissal time. And I went out and I had to run to her and get her, pull her to me and say, I'm mad, and do it in sign language to get the point across that what she did was not okay. Because it often can be laughing and smiling and getting their way. And Becca in Bionic Boy gets her way a lot, but she also has a scene where she ends up doing something heroic at the Special Olympics. And Benji's like, wait, Becca can be a hero. Why can't I ever be a hero? So he wants to, you know, do something that he thinks could be heroic, but he's not even, I think readers will talk and think on the other side, Benji actually is a hero to his younger sister, Becca, the whole story. He's looking out for her. He's protecting her. There's a girl in the story that seems like she's mean. She's moved to the neighborhood. She has her reasons for being angry, and she won't talk to Benji or Becca. And Benji's like, it's okay if you don't talk to me, but you at least have to say one syllable word, hi, to Becca. And so he's always protecting her.
Yeah. You know, Papa and Dad remind me of something that happened to me in Maine, not too far from you. I forget the name of the town, but it was in that central Maine area. And one of the things I did in my magic show was to hand out these little green beads. And I'd pass them to seven or eight kids. And I said, I want you to think about something that you're thankful for. And I'm going to collect them and do something magical. And there's this one kid at this school. And he was in the back, and he stood up and he said, Jedley, people here don't really know me. I just started at this school, but yesterday I was adopted. And I have two dads now, and it's the first time I'm in my life that I have a real family. And I'm thankful for that. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, dude.
Just melts my heart. Yeah. I've heard one reviewer said it's like, oh, it's a same-sex couple that have adopted Benji and his sister Becker. That didn't need to be in the story. It's like, well, yeah, it did, in my opinion. And if you follow the facts, special needs children are adopted more often by same-sex couples than they are by straight couples.
Right.
That's just the numbers and the way that they are. And I personally know families that are, you know, gay families who have adopted 1, 2, 3 special needs kids. And I'm like, bless your hearts.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll be very honest with you. Up until that moment, I was kind of like, I can see kind of both sides. Yeah, it's not my fight, but you know, and at that moment, when that kid said that, being in front of that kid, looking in his eyes, seeing the joy that he was expressing, I just came home and go, all right, well, that issue settled with me.
Yeah, that's nice to hear you say that. And how we talk about the theme of being a hero in the book Bionic Boy, feels heroic for that kid to stand up.
Oh, yeah.
To share that and to say that. But you were a welcoming adult. And when you showed that, hey, that's good with me, it sort of ripples and spreads, I think, that others would be like, oh, then it's okay with us too.
Well, I certainly can't take credit for thinking like doing it intentionally. I don't do anything intentionally. It's just kind of like, oh, what happened? But if I was able to add to that, that would be a wonderful thing. Obviously, my beautiful wife taught special needs in Boston for 34 years, and I have to take my hat off to you and to all the special needs, well, every teacher, but especially special needs teachers. In addition to teaching kids, one of the things I found with my beautiful wife, she was often an advocate for her kids. She was the one who helped her kids become accepted into the school. You were mentioning the girl with Down syndrome that you had to grab. There was a young boy, and my wife didn't have a Down syndrome class. She was a teacher with, we got this kid who doesn't fit into any of the boxes that we have. Put her in Miss G's class. She can deal with anybody. And so she had this kid, Alejandro, and he was a cute kid, but he was very stubborn, as you said, and did not have any fans when he arrived at the school because he was going to be a problem. He was going to be. And within a month of being in my wife's class, he became the star of the school. Everybody loved him, and it was because my wife helped people see this kid in a different way. And I'm sure that's what you've done in your career as well, is help people see these kids, and especially with Bionic Boy.
Yeah, I mean, I think your wife probably let that student see himself in a different way. He saw himself as somebody who wasn't accepted and didn't belong, and he was sort of fighting the whole school because they were against him, mm-hmm. and she supported him. So, yeah. And I try to show that with the Bionic Boy in terms of there are some school scenes, and Benji has a good friend, Sam, and they're both obsessed with superheroes. And but they're sort of each loners in their own way. But they find, you know, they find their way forward. This, I think of some of the special needs kids that I have worked with, sometimes it's hard. I have had to have all the other kids in the class leave because there's violence in the classroom. But then we've gone the other way and we've let things shine. We have our special needs kids, and I was team teaching with a special ed teacher, and we're doing a unit on vehicles. So we got the Mack truck to come into the yard. We actually got skydivers to drop into the school. Well, we're not just going to do that with our small classroom with special ed kids. The whole school gets invited. And everybody was like, wow, this is wonderful. And they look at this class with special ed kids and say, whoa, look, they're doing things we wouldn't even do. And I think we all have to think there's things we wouldn't even do. And I think in terms of Benji, I hope people will talk about what does it mean to be a hero? I think when we think of being a hero, we think of big things. But can being a hero be little things? Little things that you do on a daily basis, standing up for something or someone you believe in. Is that heroic? I would argue yes, but I think people have to have their own conversations about that.
Yeah. We love the fact that books can be mirrors, windows, and sliding glass doors. And obviously, a kid who has some kind of physical or intellectual challenge would be great to get to know Benji and see themselves portrayed as a hero. But I'm also thinking that the kids who aren't, quote unquote, special needs or don't have a disability, I think they would do really well to get to know Benji and to maybe for the first time think, I'd like to be friends with someone like Benji. Benji would be a really cool kid to hang out with.
He would be a really cool kid to hang out with, yes. And my guess is almost all schools have kids who have Down syndrome, so they would be familiar with somebody like Becca, the sister. Not as many schools have kids with limb differences. That's what we call it. There are some. I've been done author visits to schools where you have a kid who's missing one or two fingers, or sometimes it's somebody who's missing their hands. Not as often legs that are missing. But we have a camp here in Maine where kids can go who have limb differences, and they're the only ones that go, and instead of feeling like they're stand out, they actually fit in to that. And I got expert readers from there too to be able to give me, it's Camp No Limits. I was just checking with this. It's Camp No Limits. And, you know, the expert readers there were helpful too in terms of letting me know, wait a minute, no, that's not true to how kids without, you know, hands would do things, or maybe how they would interact, or the adaptive equipment that they would use, because there is adaptive equipment. So, and I think that you're right too, Jed, from the point of view, the whole idea of the title, The Bionic Boy, I think it's going to pull some kids in to say, bionic? But the robotic part and the prosthetics, I think that will pull kids in, because they're like, they really are bionic. And understanding that and the science of that. And when you focus on the science of that, it's almost like the humanity gets pulled in too.
You know, what's kind of neat is, as you're mentioning the science, all these things that we're talking about, when you and I were little kids watching our black and white TVs with only three channels on it, all this stuff was science fiction. The idea that you could talk to your phone and go, hey, what, you know, what's going on? Can you write me an essay and it spits it out? Or someone has a bionic arm, or even just a wheelchair that can drive. That stuff was unheard of.
Right. When you think of the advances that have been made, which is wonderful, because I'm old enough, you're old enough, when you think back in terms of kids with special needs. In my generation, they went to school, but they went to a different school. And the generation before, they probably didn't even go to school. They were kept at home. So you look at the period of time and in a couple generations, how much things have changed. Because we have differences, but we have so much more in common.
Right. Yeah. Well, that was the thing. I the folks here who've listened to the show know that I ran a program. I believe the school, I worked at a school for kids with severe intellectual
disability.
Yes, we've changed the term so much. I believe I was hired to run their integration program. And I believe I was hired because the hospital that was running the program wanted to prove that the idea that these kids can be integrated into typical situations is preposterous. They need to be in a hospital. So let's hire this clown who, and the program will fail. And this is before the Americans with Disability Act was passed, and not through anything I did, but the program was a huge success, not only because my kids loved being in typical situations, but the quote-unquote typical kids loved my kids, and they welcomed them with open arms. And very quick, even though my kids couldn't for the most part, couldn't walk, couldn't talk, couldn't really do much of anything for themselves, their peers loved being with them, loved interacting with them. And I was very happy that we were able to do that.
It's nice that the results of the experiment were the opposite of what the hospital wanted.
Yes, it was. And I'm kind of glad that 2 years after that, that hospital school closed and the kids were integrated back into their home systems.
That's great. So, yeah, I see kids who are not special ed kids change being around kids who mm-hmm. have special needs, which is mm-hmm. wonderful. We have one more character we haven't mentioned, the staff sergeant in the story.
Oh, yes, yes.
And I think that readers will enjoy the staff sergeant. He is a quadruple amputee. Mm-hmm. He went to war, and that's where he fell on an IED, improvised explosive device, and that's where he lost his limbs. He has two artificial prosthetic legs, and he has one prosthetic arm. The other arm he doesn't because the amputation was so far up that it couldn't support the prosthetic. Benji hears the staff sergeant Dirk Snyder give inspirational speeches in the story a couple different times, and he just is in awe and looks at things and himself differently, because that staff sergeant, who had everything to lose and could have given up and talks about it in his speeches that he could have given up, he jokes, he kids around, he has this wonderful sense of humor that inspires Benji. And Benji says to himself, he's like, look, if the staff sergeant can do all of that, well, maybe I can do a little something, not as much as what the staff sergeant does. And the staff sergeant said at one point says, when he has a talk with Benji, the staff sergeant, Benji asks him, because he was in war and you described that, and he says, weren't you scared? And the staff sergeant is, yes. He said, but I don't let scared stop me. Mm-hmm. And Benji's blown away, because scared has always stopped him. Mm-hmm. What if we get scared and we don't get stopped? What if we kind of make ourselves move forward a little bit? So, okay. And there's somebody we have here in Maine, Staff Sergeant Travis Mills, who's a quadruple war amputee and has started an organization where war heroes with amputations actually come to a camp in Maine. And there's no charge to any of them, and they come with their families. And so he does such wonderful work. And so he is part of the inspiration for me in terms of including a character like the staff sergeant.
Yeah, cool. So cool. It sounds, and the way you're talking, the smile that you have as you're talking about all these characters, you really fell in love with them.
I did. Yeah. And I think that's the way I have to do it. It's like, it has to feel like my family. Mm. I'm creating this family, my imagination, but they have to feel like real people to me. And so there's people I've met in real life. So it may be a sense of humor from one person gets pulled in, and love of cooking from another person gets pulled in, and pieces of myself end up in there too. So yeah, it does feel like my family by the time I'm done.
Now, during the creation of this book, was there anything that Benji did that surprised you?
I think he was, I believed in him sooner than he believed in himself. So I think that surprised me, because I knew we were going to end up in a good place and he would be a hero, a quiet hero, not a big dramatic hero, a quiet hero. And I knew that was going to happen, but sometimes it felt like pulling teeth. It's like, yes, you fictional boy, you can do it. You can do it. You can do it. And I believe in listening to characters. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, if he's balking and he's having a hard time, then doing the transformation from shy, scared kid to heroic kid, I had to make sure that it wasn't too fast of a leap or too big of a leap. I had to sort of have it be a staircase where he was going and doing something that would make the transformation seem believable.
Yeah. You know, we encourage families to continue to read with their kids as they're getting into middle grade novels, reading independently. And if not reading out loud together, at least, you know, co-reading and sitting down and talking about it on the way to school or over dinner. one of the conversations that I would love for families to have is that question we talked about earlier is, can somebody doing little things be a hero? You know, do we have to have, what other conversation would you like to have families have talking about Bionic Boy?
I think they would have conversations about, wait, who goes to your school that seems different? And it doesn't necessarily, I'm not even sure the kids are aware of special education, but who seems different? And when I say Down syndrome, kids don't necessarily always know what that means. If I point out somebody at their school who has Down syndrome, or I show a picture of somebody who has Down syndrome, they're like, oh, yes. It's like, okay, you've seen. Or have you ever seen the Special Olympics? Does your school system participate in the Special Olympics? It's like, wow, maybe we could volunteer at the Special Olympics. It's like, who in your school system or your neighborhood or your community is different? Is there a way for you to reach out? And it may not all be the same way of reaching out. There's a lot of teams now, and I forget what they're called, where you have people with intellectual disabilities doing the sport with people who don't have intellectual disabilities. And you have the same number of people on each team, and they just support and help each other. And it's like, it's wonderful to see that.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Please tell everybody where they can go to find out more about Bionic Boy and find out about all the great books you've created.
You can go to my website, lynnplourd.com. So Lynn, L-Y-N-N, Plourd, P-L-O-U-R-D-E. But if you put in the Bionic Boy, you're going to see what the author's name is. And I do have a website, and all my books are on there. And I have learning activities for the Bionic Boy. So people can say, oh, I'm going to read this. Ooh, but here's activities I could do in the classroom or at home. And I've had 43 books published. This makes number 43. And I've done from board books to picture books to one graphic novel to a couple of middle grade books. I like to keep challenging myself and not like, oh, wait, I figured this out. I need something new to figure out. And so there's a real range of books there. But when I visit schools, I say, I am a teaching author. I love sharing my stories and being expressive. That's fun. But I want to teach kids so that they're learning things, whether in the case of the Bionic Boy, about kids who have differences and talking about heroism. And I'm in the process of getting 3D hands so that I can take with me at school visits to be able to show kids how they would work. So I want them to, and I teach kids how to write some of their own stories. So I just think that we're teaching. Guess what? We all teach.
Mm-hmm.
We're just not always aware that we're teaching. Mm-hmm. And I think that we need to be aware of that and realize whether we're parents at home or I'm a grandparent to a 10-year-old grandson and a 4-month-old grandson, when I'm with them, I'm teaching. I'm loving, but through the love, you get to teach and share.
Yeah. I love it. I love it. I can't wait for you to come back to celebrate your 44th book. And hopefully, hopefully that will be soon.
I still have to write it, but I'm working on it.
All right. We had a great time speaking to the author of The Bionic Boy. It is a new middle grade novel from our guest, Lynn Plourd. Lynn, thanks so much for being on Reading With Your Kids.
Thank you, Judd.
Get ready, adventure fans. Toby Baxter is back. In I Heart River Home, the fourth thrilling book in the Adventures of Toby Baxter series, written by Tim Wright, 13-year-old Toby dives into his most unexpected quest yet. He's battling trolls, navigating the sandpit of love, and getting stuck with an L-O-V-E compass. But when the girl of his dreams, Rainy, is kidnapped, Toby must summon more courage than ever before. All four books in the Adventures of Toby Baxter series have been honored as Reading With Your Kids certified great reads, each packed with fast-paced action, humor, and heart. So grab your copy of I Heart River Home today and join Toby on an unforgettable journey through River Home, where every page is an adventure. Hey, my friends, you know one of my favorite parts of the day is story time. There's just something magical about snuggling up with your kids, opening a great book, and escaping into an adventure together. And let me tell you, that moment becomes even more magical when you're curled up in the softest, coziest bedding you've ever felt. That's why I'm so excited that CozyEarth.com is supporting Reading With Your Kids. Their bamboo sheets, comforters, and pajamas are unbelievably soft, naturally breathable, and temperature regulating, which means no more sweaty nights or chilly toes. Right now, Cozy Earth is offering Reading With Your Kids listeners an unbelievable and exclusive 41% off their entire site. That's right, you heard me right, 41% off. So go ahead, create your own cozy reading nook. Wrap yourself and your kids up in something comfy, grab your favorite bedtime book, and turn story time into the best part of your day. Head on over to CozyEarth.com and use the promo code READ at checkout to save 41%. That's CozyEarth.com, promo code READ. Hey, my friends, I have a super idea you are going to love. How about this weekend, turn your backyard cookout into a storybook celebration. Fire up the grill, crack open a few of your favorite picture books, and serve up Big Fork Brand's legendary bacon sausage. Made with nitrate-free bacon and premium pork, it's juicy, smoky, and unforgettable. Top it off with Big Fork's spicy Chicago fire sauce, and you've got a meal as bold as the characters in your favorite bedtime tale. Get 20% off your order using the promo code READ at BigForkBrands.com. That's BigForkBrands.com, promo code READ to get 20% off, because nothing brings families together like great food, great books, and a whole lot of flavor. Big Fork Brands. READ. Grill. Repeat. Love it when guests return to Reading With Your Kids, and our guest is returning for the fourth time. I think she was one of our very first guests, or a guest when we first launched almost 8 years ago. She's coming to us from the great state of Michigan, here to celebrate her new picture book, Bookly, the Book-Loving Ghost. Please welcome back to the show, Lindsay Kosicki. Lindsay, how are you?
Hey, Jed, I'm doing great. I'm so happy to be back.
Yeah, delighted to have you back. This is your fourth book. How does it feel being a multi-published children's author?
It's surreal. You know, it was surreal the first time I did it. And part of me thought, oh, hey, you know, I published a children's book. I wonder if I'll ever do it again. And then, you know, three years later, here I am with my fourth. So it's surreal, but it's fun. It's been super fun.
Excellent. I love it. Tell us about Bookly and why does he love books so much?
All right. Well, Bookly is obviously a book-loving ghost. He haunts his local library. So he lives in the library, and every Sunday he picks out a new book for the townsfolk. So the townsfolk come to the library to see what Bookly's book of the week will be. So it's super fun. It's all about, you know, the joy of reading and spreading that joy of reading in almost like a Casper the Friendly Ghost kind of way.
Yeah, I love that. Well, every library should have a book-loving ghost in it, I think.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I frequented the library a lot growing up, and Bookly is the first book that didn't come from my children's imagination. It came from mine. Oh. I used to go to the library a lot, and I got in the habit of, I would find a book, like, somewhere placed perfectly, it felt like, for me to find, and my imagination ran wild, and I told myself, well, I wonder who picked that out for me to read. So
that's neat. Yeah. Libraries have changed so much since when I was a kid. When I was a kid, it was like, shh, quiet, don't.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a great place. It wasn't a place that I look forward to visiting, to be honest with you, when I was a kid, especially when I never choose to go there by myself when I was a young kid, because it's like I didn't want to get yelled at. But libraries are so much cooler now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, they are. And they do so much for the community with events from kids of all ages, especially our local library here in St. Clair Shores where I live. They do so much for kids all throughout the year, which is awesome.
Yeah, yeah. You were mentioning that this is the first book that didn't come from your kids' imagination. Are they upset that, you know, you kind of usurp their responsibility?
No, I think they like that this one is kind of mom. You know, this one has a mom's story to it and mom's heart to it, and they love Bookly. Yeah. Bookly is awesome. He's super cute. With this book, I had a little plush made of the little reading ghost, and they just love holding Bookly while they while they read their own books and while they sleep. So Bookly is definitely, I think, easily become a fan favorite in the house, regardless of whose mind he derived from.
Yeah. Ghosts are the first. Do you believe in ghosts?
Oh, yes, I do.
Oh, you do? Okay.
I do.
Okay. Okay. We, you know, I don't know where I land on it. I've had some experiences that I remember my dad passed away when my son was 6 months old. And there were times when we would go into his room and he would be looking past us at something and smiling and seeming to communicate with it. My wife would just sit there going, "Your dad's here. He's talking to your dad." And I mentioned, I don't know if I've told this story. We hosted international kids in our home. And one of the kids who became part of our family was from China. And she came here on my 60th birthday, and she brought me this beautiful painting that her grandfather had created. It was one of those scroll paintings. And I had it here in my my studio, my gym, and she had to go home unexpectedly because her grandfather was sick. And she rushed home. We weren't able to see each other when we had planned it. She got home, and then one day, as I'm working out, the painting just dropped from the wall, from where it was hanging. The nail was still on the wall. The painting was on the ground. And I got a call later that day from her boyfriend and said, "Oh, Sarah's grandfather passed away." And I said, "What time?" And we did the math. And if it wasn't the moment that he passed, it was pretty close.
Yeah. You know, there's something to that supernatural experience that some people get. And I think if you have an experience, then I can understand the doubt that comes with that. But when you have experienced that, that's my belief too. I've had many different experiences with things like that. So I absolutely believe in ghosts. Mm-hmm. And if you don't, that's okay. Maybe one day you'll have your own experience and you'll change your mind.
Yeah. What I don't believe are those ghost hunter shows.
Oh, yeah, no.
And
yeah.
In third grade, my daughter was really fascinated. She saw a commercial. I want to watch it. And no one would watch the show with her. And I said, "Oh, yes, I'll sit down and watch it." And then it became appointment viewing back before we could stream things. And every week for 2 or 3 years, we'd sit down and they're going to find the ghost this week. And they didn't find anything. And I was so disappointed.
No, I don't believe in that either. If I've learned anything from ghosts, it's that if they want to find you, they will. They're not going to let you hunt for them. So let them come to you.
What do you think about, you know, because this, we have so many stories, you know, in middle grade, there's lots of spooky middle grade books that kids love. And we've talked about the fact that, you know, spooky middle grade gives kids a chance to kind of confront the things that they're scared of when they're young and kind of role play and how might they act. But how would you talk to your kids about ghosts if they, you know, 5, 6, 7 years old, the perfect age for Bookly, the book loving ghost? "Mommy, but ghosts are scary and they'll take us away." And
yeah, you know, it's hard. I mean, my kids are 5 and 7 and they definitely have those afterlife questions. You know, why are some, you know, we've had family and pets pass and where do they go? Like, are they still here? And I've had the conversation, you know, and every family is different, but mm-hmm. in our family, it's, your spirit lives on, and sometimes that spirit comes back and guides you. They're in your family and your loved ones, and, you know, sometimes maybe they don't. Maybe they're happy and they're moved on and living their life, but sometimes they're still a part of our lives, and I think that's a beautiful way of looking at it. You know, ghosts don't have to be, you know, they're not haunting us mm-hmm. by any means. They're kind of living simultaneously with us, maybe not on the same plane, but living along with us, and I don't think it's in a negative way at all. I don't think we don't view that in our house, at least, as something negative or something to be scared of by any means. So, our house loves anything spooky. And I think maybe that mindset has kind of, you know, opened us up to like, what else is there?
Uh-huh.
more welcoming, you know?
Yeah. We're actually recording this, the day before Halloween, mm-hmm. which is really grown. I, when I was a kid, maybe you'd get a costume and maybe someone put a pumpkin out. But boy, I'm riding around the neighborhood, this beautiful neighborhood of Reedville, and there are there's one family that has a 15-foot skeleton in the in their front yard, and there are all sorts of, I mean, just over the top decorations. How do you celebrate Halloween at the Gizicki home?
You know, we decorate inside and we decorate outside. We do obviously welcome trick or treaters. We are out trick or treating. The one thing I will say that modern day Halloween versus the Halloween of my youth is that there are so many events leading up to Halloween that it takes away almost from the actual day of Halloween. I can't even tell you how many Halloween festivities, trunk or treats that my kids have to go to for like sports, for school. And by the time Halloween gets here, it's like, well, we've already trick or treated a little bit, like 5 times. Mm-hmm. you know, back when I was trick or treating as a child, it was the night of. You take your pillowcase and you go door to door for as long as your legs will work. You go home, and that was it. And now today it's like the entire month of October.
Yeah, yeah. And if it rained Halloween night, it was get wet and get candy or
suck it up. Yeah.
We had on our block, we had a woman. Her name was Mrs. Hamilton, and she was an old woman. Well, everybody looked old back then to me, but she was an older woman. And when she would come in, when we would go to her house, we had to go upstairs into her house and sit down. And she would play her piano and we'd sing songs. And she had these big, goofy monster feet wearing on her feet. And it was a fun, weird, but fun little memory.
Yeah, well, fun though. That's fun. You know, and some of my best Halloween memories, obviously, it's so much fun seeing my kids excited for it. That's a feeling you can't beat. But yeah, some of my best Halloween memories for myself are just being young and being out and it being dark and running around with friends and not worried about anything, but just having fun in the moment. And Halloween has always been my favorite holiday.
Yeah. Yeah. I was just going to ask you what your favorite holiday was, but I'm curious. You're busy. You're a busy mom, but this is your fourth book. What's your creative process? Do you constantly have like a little notebook and you're getting ideas and writing things down and putting them in a file, or do you have one idea that comes to you and I'm just going to focus on this one idea until the book is out?
I definitely have multiple ideas that come to me, and I'll take out my phone and my notes app and I'll write down the ideas, but I try to really only evolve one at a time. Mm-hmm. My life is a delicate balance of my children, my full-time job, my book writing. I own a traveling book fair here in Michigan. So it's just finding the time, and my kids are very, very active in their sports. So just finding the time to juggle everything. I really can't focus on more than one book at a time. But definitely the ideas are there. Yeah, they always exist.
Well, I know that people listening would be very upset at me if I didn't follow up with you own your own traveling book fair. You're out there competing with Scholastic. What's up with this?
Yeah, so that was the whole thing. My daughter, she's 7 now, but when she started 3-year preschool, she was constantly bringing home those Scholastic flyers, and no, I'm not gonna bash Scholastic, but some of the books I was just like, you know, I would like to see a different variety of books and different styles and from different kinds of authors. So after a couple years of sitting with that, I got in touch with another indie children's book author here in Michigan, Renee Bola, and we kind of brainstormed like, what could we do for schools that would introduce them to, you know, indie books and books that were super diverse and had different topics and, you know, weren't always like the typical kind of books that you would see in a Scholastic catalog. And we came up with this idea, and it's called A Pop of Indie. And A Pop of Indie to now and to this day, where I think we're a little over 2 years now that we've been doing this. We have around 32 authors in our catalog, which each author has more than one book. So we're over 100 books now in our catalog. Mm-hmm. And we travel around the state of Michigan. And it's like a family literacy type of event. So most schools have us come after hours. It's a 90-minute event. We have our entire book fair there, but we're also doing writing workshops, arts and crafts, story time, an author Q&A panel. Each event has about 8 local authors that come to it. And it's really just an experience for the family is to learn directly from an author's perspective, to get engaged with authors who have books, you know, independently published, to learn about that. And yeah, I'm proud to have a really diverse group of authors and all different backgrounds. So it's been great. It's been a really, really good experience. The schools have been so welcoming and grateful for us. It's definitely just a twist on a typical kind of book fair and what we have to offer to the local communities.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Yeah, it sounds like much more of a family event, a family literacy event.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it absolutely is. It's definitely more than just a book fair. It's just bringing communities together and just the love of reading and also supporting independently published authors, because you know how important that is too.
Yeah, well, absolutely. And we're living in a time, and hopefully this is something your kids can learn from the writing, your writing workshops. We're living in a time where we can create. Kids can create and have their work published, and you can start a podcast, you can start a YouTube channel, you can publish a book. And what an amazing moment in history we're living through.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny you say that, because this past summer, Papa Vindy hosted summer camps for kids in two different cities in Michigan, and it was picture book creation for kids. So we had kids come in with us for a week. It was about three hours a day, Monday through Friday, and they created their own picture books. We started from a basic idea to plot and characters and storyline, and at the end of the week, they had a book, an actual book that they could present, and they shared it with their families, and it was awesome. So yeah, there's so many little authors out there that have all their little awesome ideas. So it was super fun.
That is fantastic. What's next from Lindsay Kosicki? Do you have another book in the works, or are we going to launch a film production company? I mean, you have the book fair, you know.
You know, you never know what's going to come next. But I think what's going to be next is evolving Papa Vindy on the business side. And then also for me personally, I'm not sure if you remember my second book, The Pirate Doctor. It was a picture book. I'm currently having it made into like an early reader, maybe kind of middle grade book, like a early chapter book. So yeah, I'm taking The Pirate Doctor and I'm introducing her to maybe a little bit of older readers. So the different storyline, and yeah, and I hope they love that. I had a publisher when I was first shopping around The Pirate Doctor before I decided to independently publish it. And they suggested that I turn it into a chapter book. At the time, I didn't see it as a chapter book, but I think now I'm ready to kind of evolve it. So you might see The Pirate Doctor as a chapter book next.
That's fantastic. Well, you have to come back and celebrate the book here on the podcast. Are you finding it challenging to be writing a chapter book?
A little bit. You know, it's definitely different from what I'm used to, but I like that I can, you know, add more to the words and add more storyline and give it a little bit extra. I mean, I find myself being more creative with my writing when I have the ability to create more. Mm-hmm.
That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. We should tell everybody where they can go to find out more about Bookly, the book loving ghost, and also more about your book fair.
Yeah, of course. You can find out more about my books and the book fair at my website. It's at hankaroureadings.com.
Hankaroureadings.com. I've had a great time speaking to the author of Bookly, the book-loving ghost. We've talked about ghosts, about books, about book fairs with our guest, Lindsay Kosicki. Lindsay, thanks so much for being back on Reading With Your Kids.
Thank you so much for having me again, Jen.
And that brings us to the end of another magical episode of Reading With Your Kids. Hey, if this episode made you smile, gave you something to think about, please consider sharing a link to the show with someone you love. Also, please consider leaving a 5-star review. It really helps us grow. And of course, we'd love it if you could subscribe to the show so you don't miss a moment of Reading With Your Kids. We love our social media followers. If you'd like to join us, facebook.com/readingwithyourkids, at readingwithyourkids on Instagram, at Jedley Magic on X, our YouTube channel, youtube.com/readingwithyourkids. And of course, our website is readingwithyourkids.com. If you are the author of a fantastic children's book, you absolutely want to go to readingwithyourkids.com and click on the author's click here button up at the top of the page. You can find out how you can be a guest here on the show. Being a guest is fun, it's easy, and it gives you the chance to tell thousands of Kidlit fans all over the world about your magnificent children's book. I want to thank the folks who made today's show so wonderful, starting with our guest, Lynn Plard. Please be sure to check out The Bionic Boy. Also, Lindsay Gazicki. Please be sure to check out Bookly, the book-loving ghost. We want to thank all of our sponsors. They are so important in our mission. Also want to thank my team, Fatima Khan, Chris Daugherty. I want to thank my beautiful wife for all the support she gives me. She is amazing. But most of all, we want to thank you, our listeners, for being part of this journey. By reading with your kids, you're spreading kindness, imagination, and love all throughout the world. Keep reading, keep dreaming, and keep making the world a better place, one page at a time. I'll be looking for you in the next episode of Reading with Your Kids.